This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy War.
Jack and Dean.
Joy War.
That's very chipper, isn't it?
Here it comes, that jazzy lawyer beat.
Now, joining us in the studio, live as always, is the team from KHQ Lawyers. Joining us, we have Stefan and David. Welcome.
Hi, Dean. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
Hey.
What are we talking about today?
Well, today we're talking about immigration with David. Mm. As family lawyers, we've worked with David in the past to assist clients with a range of issues that relates to people whose relationship breaks down and impacts the status of their visas. So David's going to be talking about partner visas today.
Ah.
Dean, Jack, people come into Australia on prospective marriage visas. They're called 300 visas, or they lodge an application here for an 820-801, which is an onshore partner visa, or they can do an offshore visa, a 309-100 partner visa. So there's three ways a married couple, a de facto couple, or a registered relationship couple can come to the country and stay in the country.
Sounds like a game of bingo, all these numbers. Yahtzee.
Yeah. 820-801 are the best, Dean.
Is that right?
Absolutely, because you're here. You're here, yeah.
So let's unpack some of these numbers. So
the 820.
820, okay. Starting at 820.
820 is a visa you can lodge whilst you're here. And if you have an Australian partner who's a permanent resident or a citizen, or an eligible New Zealand permanent, an eligible New Zealand citizen, you can marry that person, and you can do de facto 12 months cohabitation, 820-801 partner visa, or you can register your relationship under state law, and then that obviates the need for 12 months of cohabitation. That's another way to get a visa, apply for a visa.
So you fall in love,
you're an Australian citizen,
you go overseas to Paris maybe.
Yes.
You fall in love, maybe.
No, two of my friends...
Gotta fall in love.
You gotta fall in love, very important. Yeah. Fall
love
in love
is important.
First.
Two of my Melbourne friends married French boys, and we had to do all the stat decks and everything, and
did they come? Did they come, Jack, or did they come on the visa? Or were they already here?
They were in Paris, so they came here on highly skilled visas.
Okay.
Yeah.
The key is evidence, and people get in trouble if they don't have enough evidence.
What sort of evidence do you need? How do I prove my love to you?
I know it's a bit artificial like that. Names on leases, joint credit cards, joint debit cards, gas, electricity, water bills, shared bank accounts.
An Instagram account?
Which one?
An Instagram account with photos.
Instagram and Facebook are the cherries on the cake. Nice photos of you guys under the Harbour Bridge.
Blowing out birthday candles.
Blowing out birthday, family with grandma. Uh-huh. All the evidence to show you're an inextricable part of someone's family.
Yeah, we had to write the stat text for that and just write, they are a couple, we've been together in many... and several of these photos of them together at
That's
various
it.
Things.
That's it, Jack. We do yum cha every Sunday, then we go to the casino and play pai gao or whatever it is.
Oh, that sounds delightful. We get married.
Now, that's for an 820. That's when you fall in love overseas.
When you fall in love here.
Oh, so you fall in love here?
Oh, yeah, they're yours.
Now, the 309...
Oh, 309.
...is when you fall in love... and you're on an overseas assignment, or you're living, doing a working holiday in another country, and you marry someone or have 12 months cohabitation with someone in another jurisdiction.
Ah, so this is not the Kentucky tour hookup.
Not the Kentucky tour hookup.
It's been more than a six-week tour of...
So it's a year.
With those ones, the people on the hookup will come out for working holiday visas.
Yes.
And then the Australian can do an 820-801 partner visa with them when they come here on a working holiday visa.
So let me recap. 820, fall in love here.
Fall in love here.
Yep.
309, fall in love there.
Yeah.
But more than a Kentucky tour.
More than a Kentucky tour. 12 months cohabitation or marriage.
I'm going to go meet myself someone from Paris, maybe.
You get a certificate de concubinage. That's what you do when you're in France. You register your relationship under French law, and that's a way to get a lot of evidentiary kudos on the board, because people fail with these applications when they don't have enough evidence.
Yes.
Third-party endorsements, love stories. Love stories are very important. The day I met Dean... The day I met Jack.
How about love letters? How about sexy texts?
Yeah, they're good.
I have love letters.
Do you?
13 years old, still reading them.
Keep them.
I'll keep them all. And he also, in a love letter, he's like, oh, I owe you a pair of shoes, so here's a coupon for a pair of shoes. Can I make him pay that now that he's got a wife and kids that aren't... Can I?
Good luck. might have to come in and see us one day.
I will.
It's a different legal matter altogether.
Give me shoes, Dal.
Now, you mentioned there about being in Paris. We're talking about France as our example, and that there's certain rules because of that country. Does it differ country to country?
Differs country to country, yeah. Absolutely. Now, if you don't know the rules of the foreign jurisdiction, what you can do for the safety of an Australian application is get 12 months of cohabitation or get married in that jurisdiction.
But sometimes people's careers don't allow for that. So you might fall in love with, say, someone from Japan, and they may not live together for 12 months, but you have an ongoing relationship, and every holiday one of you flies to Japan or the Japanese partner flies to Australia.
The longer the relationship, the deeper the evidence. Money's powerful, purchases for each other. Joint ownership of assets is very important as well. Yeah, there are a few scenarios where it's quite difficult to gather the evidence, but it's they're not bound by precedent. They don't treat like cases alike.
Right.
So it depends on the evidence in each individual circumstance. The 820 gets them here, and the 820 keeps them here. The 309 gets them here.
Ooh, you're getting a double.
What people don't like, and it's understandable, is delay. The department moves very slowly for offshore processing, very slowly for onshore processing. Onshore processing's less stressful because they're already here. They can enjoy life with their partner. Mm-hmm. But if you've got somebody who's waiting in Paris for 15, 16, 17 months, they're not going to be very happy.
They're not in Paris. You can't trust them. Can't trust
True.
Any of them.
Can't trust anyone. That's right.
Yeah. One of the things we were talking about with David, and as family lawyers, we tend to see fairly often as well, is when a relationship breaks down and it impacts the status of the visa, perhaps, David, you could talk to the impact of that and what you
would
do.
When somebody is a victim of domestic violence and they have temporary residency, the 820,
yep.
or the 309 that's brought them here for temporary residency, with the 820, it segues to an 801, and that's permanent residency. When you come on a 309, it segues into a 100 visa, and that's permanent residency. When you hold temporary residency, 309 visa, 820 visa, if you are a victim of domestic violence, you go and see Stefan. Over the years, I've been... heard of some terrible, terrible acts of domestic violence, and you know, you don't have to suffer to be in a relationship with an Australian to get permanent residency.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Which is important, because you don't want to have somebody who is hospitalised, traumatised, just because they want permanent residency.
Also becomes almost like an emotional handcuff or a...
That's it.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
That's horrendous.
The love of Australia, the desire to be here, makes a lot of people a lot of people don't realise that, you know, you don't have to suffer to get permanent residency. If you've got temporary and you're a victim of domestic violence, it can be established. There are pathways. One of them's to see Stefan.
We are talking to the team from KHQ Lawyers about finding love overseas or with an international partner and how you might deal with the immigration issues.
As family lawyers, we often see people towards the conclusion of a relationship, but often David's working with couples at the beginning of a relationship. So perhaps David could talk through some of the things these clients may like to have known before embarking on the process. If you're living in Australia, your partner's overseas, what are some of the things that you should consider?
Be prepared, yeah.
Be prepared, yes. Stefan, Dean, Jack. Gather evidence. A lot of people say, it just goes against the grain, goes against the natural flow of the relationship, the development. You've got to be calculated. You've got to be organised, highly organised, like magpies, collect everything to show you're in a relationship.
All the shiny things.
All the shiny things. That's, they're very important, Jack.
Ticket stubs.
Ticket stubs, you go see the Rolling Stones. Receipts.
Who are they, Dad?
Show my age. Receipts from restaurants, air tickets, itineraries, evidence of travel, photos, gift cards.
To be quite forensic about it.
You've got to be very
like
clinical.
Folder, like an actual folder.
Absolutely,
of stuff.
Absolutely.
Clinical.
You've got to be clinical, because they will assess you on your evidence, and you live and die by your evidence.
And they really grill you, don't they?
When you're offshore, you're going to be interviewed. And the best thing to do if you're going to be interviewed is to, if you're not invited into the embassy, the High Commission or the consulate, when they ring you, have everything on the table. Mm-hmm. Have your whole application out in front of you as your safety net. So if you forget something, you can go, oh, yeah, he's got blue eyes.
Forget that.
You never know, because I tell you what happens. They pray in certain countries, I won't name them, but in certain countries, the locals who are part and parcel of the process will put a lot of pressure on the locals who are migrating. Very often, because they're jealous, they're stuck working for the High Commission.
Why is one of my
fellow countrymen able to come to Australia? Mm.
And is it in terms of the documentation? Is it obviously it's supporting the case that we are in a relationship?
That's it.
But you also need to demonstrate that the partner that you're bringing to Australia is a fit and proper person, or
correct? Correct
around that as well.
Police checks. You could do your own police check beforehand. a lot of people forget things, don't Jack? Uh-huh. That's often a problem. Oh yeah, I did that when I was 18, did that when I was 19, I'm 48 now. So you can't, if you're a naughty person, you don't get a visa.
Right.
Ooh. Naughty people don't get visas.
And not being healthy is also sometimes
not being healthy. Not being healthy depends on the degree of ill health. Mm-hmm. Depends on whether it's something you can manage, like diabetes can be managed. What are they paranoid about? They're paranoid about bloods.
Uh-huh.
They're paranoid about cancers.
Okay.
And the big one is tuberculosis.
TB.
Uh-huh. And it's because it could potentially be a drain on the public purse.
Oh, it's so contagious and it'll spread like contagion. Wildfire, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, people say it's not romantic. You've got to be pragmatic.
So Jacqueline has just met a young fellow.
Yes.
Now, he's from Hobart.
He'd
be allowed in.
He'd
be allowed in.
We've been kissing.
I'll have to give him a consultation, assess his character.
I'll have to swab him and see if he's got tuberculosis.
Marty, you should. Thank you very much, David and Stefan from KHQ.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Jack.
Thanks
you guys.
So
ciao, guys. Ciao.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.